This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hey everyone, it's Fat Mascara. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
And you're back.
I'm so happy to be back. I missed the studio. I missed you.
How did Tiff do?
Tiff was amazing. I should say I missed Tiff too.
Wasn't she great?
She was great. Yeah, she blew me away with some of those stats.
I loved it.
Yeah.
So we have to talk about Japan because believe it or not, guys, we haven't had a chance to reconnect, Jess and I. So we're going to talk about her trip to Japan and you learned some beauty stuff you're going to share with me, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then after that, scalps. Everybody's favorite topic.
We cannot get enough scalp care here at Fat Mascara.
Jess just looked at me like, whoa.
It's just such a gross word.
Scalp. No, we have hair health help.
Yes.
If you will. Yeah. Who's our guest?
Our guest is the fabulous Stephen Nickel. He's a master perfumer at IFF. That means International Flavors and Fragrances. We're going to talk to him about the scents that are in your household products, the scents that kind of creep up on us every day.
Ooh, so interesting. Can't wait
for
it.
Yeah.
Jess, welcome home. I missed you.
Oh, I missed you too.
I know. I saw your pictures from Japan and it looked fun and I want to hear everything. P.S. I'm hearing this for the first time, guys. So just with you.
Yeah, we haven't had a minute to catch up.
Let's catch up.
Okay, so I went with the brand Shiseido. They are based in Japan, but we know them around the world. They make all kinds of great skincare. And I went for the launch of one of their new products. It's a very big deal. I will tell you about it later. I cannot talk about it now.
Okay.
But so I had never been to Japan.
Okay. Thoughts.
What a beautiful and incredible country, but also just so different, you know,
yeah.
than our, you know, New York City scene.
Yeah.
if I just say it. But I saw so many beautiful things. I was lucky. I didn't have your average, you know, Japan experience because I was hosted by Shiseido.
Oh, that's right. Harper's Bazaar beauty director. Right at cherry blossom, peak cherry blossom time.
It was pretty incredible. So one thing that we did with Shiseido was we went to, just going to tell you a few highlights. Things I learned.
Hit me with them.
We went to this beautiful exhibit at a museum in Kyoto, and it was all about the history of makeup and beauty in Japan. So I really loved the exhibit because I learned so much. It was like a little bit of a history lesson. So just these are just some fun facts that I learned.
Yes, please.
During the Heian period, or Heian, H-E-I-A-N, this is from 794 through 1185. I mean, this was a while ago, guys. It's been a minute.
Since the Heian dynasty.
It's been a minute. They talked about cosmetics and how they were used as a way of expressing politeness through one's appearance.
This is back in like the Middle Ages,
yes.
700. Okay.
Well, I'm not a historian, so I don't remember what Middle Ages was.
Yeah, but you think you're just trying to survive. You don't have time for makeup.
I'm just trying to get the water from the river
from the well
to my...
or where, yeah.
Yeah. And there were three traditional Japanese makeup colors, which
okay.
This makes so much sense when I think about Shiseido cosmetics and just, you know, Japanese decor. Red, white, and black.
Okay.
These three Japanese makeup colors were established that area. Face powder was very expensive, used by wealthy aristocrats.
When they wanted to be polite to everyone, right?
I guess so. I guess so. Then another thing that was really cool was that there was like a trend for light makeup, which reminds me, it's like the Glossier of of the period.
No makeup.
So no makeup makeup was during the Edo period, 1603 through 1868.
Which is interesting because if you think about European history right then, that's right up in there with like tons of powder, rouge cheeks, like, you know, French Revolution style. Like
right.
I'm picturing, you know, Marie Antoinette with her like overly caked on makeup face.
Well, I was reading the little panel. It said the beauty of natural skin finished with just a light touch of makeup became the desired look among the people of Edo. Reminds me a lot of what's happening now.
Okay. It was trendy back then.
It was really cool.
It's like I'm so rich and fabulous that I just look like nothing and
yeah,
I just look
like
better.
Just woke up like this beauty.
Okay.
And then another thing that I saw in the case, like there were cases of beautiful
historical products
and you know, like the first Shiseido fragrance, all of that.
That company's been around since the 1800s? I'm putting you so on the spot right now.
It's at least since the 1800s.
Okay.
Guys, you can fact check me on that, but it's like over 150 years old. People would blacken their teeth as a sign of beauty.
Really? That's
yeah.
Interesting.
Really interesting, right?
I'm just like trying to picture why that would be, because there's a lot of, I did my thesis on this in college.
Okay, Jen.
No, about how a lot of the reasons we use makeup is to connote health, right? So like rouge cheeks,
right.
Or like your eyes look whiter because you're bright and healthy. You're not jaundiced and they're not yellow. Now I know your liver is working.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't find a like cultural or medical reason why you'd want to blacken your teeth.
I wish I saw a painting. Guys, if any of you are out there and you know of a painting or great visual reference with the blackened teeth, I'd love to see it. And if it's clear, I will share it with you guys on social because I wanted to see a painting, or certainly this wouldn't get a photograph, but of what that would look like. But it sounded so cool.
It sounds very cool. And that also is a trend now, too, like make you look twice. So it's so ugly, it's beautiful.
Yes, it's
right?
Totally. It felt like something out of like a Stephen Klein shoot. You know?
Do you remember what they used to blacken their teeth?
They had a little like implement. So if it was a paste or a charcoal, I wasn't able to see it.
But they would rub it on their teeth. And
I have to assume.
Okay.
But I thought that was so noteworthy. I've got to come back and tell all of our listeners because I thought that was just
about
so cool and interesting.
About the history of Japanese makeup.
Now, I'm going to take it out of the museum for a second.
What'd you bring me? I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. I literally ran from the taxi to like basically my plane. It was frightening.
Okay, so what else did you see?
Okay, this is a little déclassé, but man, those toilets.
You guys know we love some derriere hygiene talk on Fat Mascara.
Oh my goodness, the Toto toilet. I've been looking it up online to see how much I can get one for, but I live in a rental, so I don't think they're going to do it.
I am telling you, this is a much more eco-friendly way. We all don't need butt wipes if we all had Toto toilets.
We had a butt wipe conversation in Japan because of the toilets.
And
let me say, people were all over the map. Very polarizing issue, but everyone could agree that the Toto toilet was awesome. There's a little bar. It's like a little remote control. You sit on it. First of all, heated seats.
Mm-hmm.
I got out of my bed in the middle of the night to go pee, and it was really dark, and I was disoriented, and I was like, oh, God, you know, freaking out. I couldn't even find the light switch. That was a whole other story. So I'm looking, and then I hear, And the toilet seat opened up for me. It's like, he's like, hello, Jessica.
Okay. Your name.
Please sit here. In 5 years, I'm sure they will say, like,
I guarantee you there's a toilet in Japan that, like, is programmed to know your name.
Yeah, totally. So I sat down, so warm and toasty. It's not even winter, but you don't realize how cold you are until you sit on a warm toilet seat.
Until you sit on a heated toto.
Oh, my God. It's stunning, okay? This thing's a work of art. And then you have your little thing in it. There's a button for water for the front, button for water for the back. You can even adjust the pressure. There's music, like, for, you know, just, you know, if you want to be discreet, if you want to respect other people's
Like, I don't want to hear what you're doing in there.
No, it, you know, it was just so... Like, yes, it was dignified.
I would say this isn't a day class A conversation. This is classy stuff.
I was thinking, like, should we bring, like, a boombox, like, in all of the stalls?
Well, I do remember when I was in, I've been to Japan a couple of times. In the 7-Eleven, I used, like, a public bathroom. I went in, birds chirping, a soundtrack pumped in, like, in the like, roadside 7-Eleven, they had the most beautiful toilet.
That's wonderful, and that's a great takeaway, because these toilets, I looked at them, it's about starting, for the whole kit and caboodle, starting $3,000. I think the restrooms in our country, and even in our homes, like, they have, some of them have built-in fans, built-in music, built-in boombox. Play Beyonce, play whatever you want. Birds. So that was great. And then last, I'm gonna bring us up again.
Okay.
The hotels that I stayed at each had, like, a house scent, and the tour guide that was with us said, Japanese people, compared to Americans, are not as big on fine fragrance for the body because it's an invasion of someone else's space. I'm really simplifying that. It's broad strokes here, guys. But it's, you want to really respect other people's space. But as for home, they're really big on interior scent.
Okay.
And
because then we're all in it together, I guess.
Maybe. I'm trying to be very careful because I'm just learning about the culture.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful culture, and I was so fascinated.
So but what did your hotel smell like?
Cherry blossoms. Wow. I never even knew what a cherry blossom smelled like.
Beautiful, right?
Yeah. And then
Sakura,
I went to
a in Japanese.
Yes. It's a Sakura. You could buy it at the front. Mm-hmm. And then there was another scent at the other hotel, which it just smelled like clean shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic.
And they are like, pump. Is it a candle, a spray, a pump? Like, you don't.
I don't know.
It's just everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Lovely.
Really nice.
Because they want to be polite. You said that with the history lesson.
Yeah.
The whole reason for wearing the makeup was polite.
It was fantastic. So I learned so much. Clearly, I have more to learn. But those were some three things I love from Japan.
Arigato gozaimasu, Jessica Matlin.
Hmm.
Whatever she just said.
Smile. Thank you.
That's what he said. Thank you. Scalp time.
Oh, sounds so sexy.
So not sexy. Why are we talking about this?
Okay, somebody wrote in and they asked me a very, I apologize for not shouting out your name. But they wrote me this great question that, you know, it's been on my mind before, but it's about hair.
Okay. What is it?
Sorry. Okay, they wanted to know what's healthier for you, blow drying or air drying? What's healthier for your scalp?
Not even your hair. Do you remember when David Yee was on Very Good Light is his website, right?
Yeah.
He said that he heard from someone that, like, you have to blow dry all the time because you don't want to have, like, ever wet hair just sitting there growing things, like some expert had told him. And we said we were going to fact check it.
Okay, well, now, David, eight months later, here you go.
You got the answer. What is it?
Okay, so I talked to Doris Day, who we know is our scalp expert. She was just on the other week.
I'm sure she'll love that title.
Hair expert.
She's also a dermatologist.
Yeah, she's also one of the biggest dermatologists in the country.
Just call her the scalp expert.
But scalp expert Doris Day, I felt was filled with sweet relief when I opened up her email.
Because
she said that either one is fine.
Phew.
And she said, you know, if the air drying absolutely do not produce what people think it's going to be fungus or dandruff on the scalp.
That's what David was saying. Like,
no, this is an old wives' tale. And she said the thinking may have been that if you have really thick hair and there's this long extended time of moisture, that yeast is going to grow. She said this is not backed by science. So we can all put this to bed. You're not going to get dandruff or, like, little critters because
Ewoks,
you're air drying.
Long-time listeners will know.
Yeah. No little Ewoks running through your hair. It is all good. So rest assured.
Air dry, blow dry. Do whatever you want. Your scalp will be fine.
Yeah. Just, she said, if you do blow dry, don't use too much heat on your scalp because that's not good for it.
I think
that's pretty obvious,
probably,
guys.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Jess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20.
We are here with Steve Nichol. He's a master perfumer at International Flavors and Fragrances, IFF. This company makes everything from vanilla flavoring for ice cream to fragrances for laundry detergents to soap scents and, of course, fine perfumes. They fragrance 38,000 products every year. Steve, welcome to Fat Mascara. That's a big number.
That is a big number.
And you do all of them, right? All 38,000?
I do some. Yes.
Well, thank you for squeezing us in. Jen and I have been dying to talk to somebody like yourself that does fragrance, but not necessarily exclusively for fine fragrances. So you're a master perfumer at IFF, and I know that is a tremendous deal. What does that mean?
I think the perfumery profession is very much like some of the other professions. So we have where we start as an apprentice, and then basically over the years you develop your talent, and you basically grow through various positions, and eventually you kind of reach the stage where you're considered a master.
Is that the highest level?
Yeah.
Oh, like, it's like
you've been knighted.
Not exactly. No.
And then what products, you know, you work on, you have worked on fine fragrance and perfumes. Do you still do that?
A little bit.
Okay, but we're focusing mostly on consumer now?
Yes,
okay.
Mostly on consumer. And actually, although consumer is very broad, actually my area of specialty is in products for laundry.
Oh, excellent. All right.
Well, I'm so excited.
We've got a lot of questions. So how is that different, just broadly speaking, than working on fine fragrance, since you have experience in both?
So I think that there is quite a difference in that not only do you have to create something that people like, but you have to take into account the fact that typically the fragrance is at a much lower level, that you have to put it into something. And then typically it goes through a process, particularly in laundry. So you think, if you put a fragrance into a fabric softener, what's going to happen to it?
It'll get hot, right?
Well, and it goes through a wash process first. So some of it gets washed away, some of it's left. But then also we try and deliver really a good consumer experience at all the different phases where they interact with it. So when you put it in the machine, when you take your clothes out, you know, that nice smell that you get.
That's
the fabric softener. When you take it from the tumble dryer, that's the same. We're delivering there. But then also people are expecting more and more from the fragrance. So we have to make sure that we deliver something that really delights them when they take it out of the cupboard, because they're going to wear it after a week, 2 weeks. It really depends what it is.
So chemically speaking, do you do things differently to get them to sort of stick around longer?
There are different technologies that we use that help the fragrance survive through the process.
And what about the fragrances themselves? Are there trends in like laundry and consumer product fragrances?
Absolutely.
Just like he's like, right.
Oh, yeah.
What's trending, Steve?
So if you look at the kind of historical position of laundry, you know, the fragrances that people would deliver were all about freshness and cleanliness, because that's a basic function, right? You wash your clothes, you expect them to smell clean and to smell fresh. But what's happened is people then start to say, okay, well, I want clean and fresh and I want something else.
Like something like for special occasions?
Or something that's more sensorial, you know, more experiential for them. So they want something that maybe reminds them of that night out, or, you know, maybe a trip down to the beach or things like that. So they're trying to get something that's more differentiating. The interesting thing that we've seen in laundry is actually we're seeing more what you would consider as like a beauty element coming into it. So the fragrances that connote kind of a well-being or a sense, you know, a feeling of that, that's really where we're tapping into the consumer's emotions.
What does that mean in terms of scents, since we can't smell them here? What does the well-being scent smell like right now?
Some of those are things, you know, we're introducing notes, some really natural things like lavender and some of the other herbal notes come in. And those people, when they smell them, it makes them feel, I feel better about myself with this.
I just say I'm obsessed with my dryer sheets right now? And I know you're not allowed to say what you've worked on, but truly just opening the door makes me happy. It's seventh generation lavender, but there's like patchouli in it.
Really?
Look at it. Is he blushing?
Are you a closet hippie?
I think I am.
Yeah, but
also
got a hippie streak.
Do you think he made it and he's smiling because he actually made that product?
I could never tell.
I think he would have to kill us first.
But what I hear you saying is that lavender and those kind of scents are starting to, like herbal and that kind of thing, right?
Well, I think what we're
seeing. Spa scents.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is that, you know, much like in other categories, people want to have a personal experience. So you see much more variety of fragrances around now, and people want to be able to customize. So they may take a detergent and match it with a particular fabric softener, and then they might use a dryer sheet or a scent booster.
It's like Jo Malone Mixon has nothing on, you know, the detergent bins.
And it's really incredible, because if you look online, you find that there are all these blogs of these people who are making combinations and suggesting combinations. Oh, yeah, it's very, very cool.
I've got to get into deep laundry when I get home, the deep wet laundry web. I was about to go to a Reddit thread. We know that these kind of spa scents are really, you know, happening right now, but what's totally out of vogue, or was there something that was a total bust?
So I think the thing is that in consumer fragrance, there's another element of it which is very different to fine. You know, you can create a niche perfume, right? And you can go out and maybe 5% of women absolutely love it and they'll buy it. You'll be a huge success. I can tell you that if I created a laundry fragrance that only 5% of women love, I'd be out of work. Mm-hmm. The level of acceptance that we have to get for our fragrances kind of drives us down a certain way. And so typically things don't, are never like a huge bust.
Mm, right.
It's more like there's a cycle. Yeah, it gets screened out along the way because those really out there fragrances just never make it to the market.
And when you say screened out, is that in like market research where you bring a bunch of people in to sniff towels or something?
Absolutely. We do two different, kind of mainly two different types. Apart from our experts, mm-hmm. We have consumers come in to us and we'll take them into a sterile environment, which has washing machines, and we show them laundry that mm-hmm. we've done and say, you know, what do you think of this, basically? But also we do home use tests. So we give them product to take home. And that's really interesting because then you find out how they actually use the products, mm-hmm. which is often very different to what it actually says on the pack.
How are people using them?
So they may overdose or, like I said, they make their personalized concoctions.
Their Jo Malone blend.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah. In America, when people think of laundry smell, we kind of all have that same smell. And I don't know how to describe it, but I'm sure there's molecules. What is that smell from back in like before now when it was spa and it was changing and everybody's mixing and matching? What is that smell that everybody knows? Is it musk?
There was musk that's part of the fragrance. Uh-huh. But yeah, it's, you know, the classic fragrances for laundry.
Tell us.
You know, we're driving freshness, cleanliness.
But what are those notes? Are they like flowers?
No, more of like the herbal, the citrus side, aldehydes. Those tend to push like freshness and cleanliness.
How would you, Jess and I know what aldehydes are, but how would you describe that to like a lay person?
So the aldehydes have a smell that's almost like the smell of hot metal. So okay. If you're pressing clothes, if you mm-hmm. think about the way the iron smells when it gets hot, mm-hmm. it has that kind of crisp, clean impression that also makes people think of outdoors because when you go outside, you get that whiff of ozone.
Ozone.
And it's kind of like in that area.
And so that's a popular note to put into laundry.
Absolutely, because anything that we can put into it that makes people feel like, you know, the problem today is we dry everything indoors, right? You throw it in the tumble dryer, you go away, you come back. Nobody dries outside anymore. Mm-hmm. And yet people still crave that kind of, oh, my washing's very clean and it smells of the outdoors.
And like sunshine.
And fresh air and mm-hmm. things like that. So often when people smell some of these materials, those are the kind of comments that they make. Like the smell of fresh air, or it's the smell by the ocean, or, you know, the countryside.
Remember, I feel like in detergent ads, I haven't seen this in a while, but maybe I'm just not realizing, they show like a woman like happily pinning up her clothes in the backyard on a clothesline.
Yeah, and usually it's big white sheets, right? Yeah, and they hang them on the line and they blow in the wind and everyone's like, oh, yes, it's air dried.
She's ecstatic.
Nobody does that anymore.
Yeah, no.
But you try to recreate those experiences with fragrance.
We recreate the feeling of
doing
the
that.
Smell.
Interesting.
And also, you know, we try and make the consumer feel like they've done it that way. Because at the end of the day, you know, doing laundry is very unrewarding.
Right? I mean, it never ends. This job is never complete.
And, you know, when you talk to consumers, what you hear is nobody ever says, oh, thank you for doing it. It's always like, oh, if your mum washes your shirt and there's a stain on it, you'll tell her, right? But how often do you go back and say, oh, thank you,
this is
all really clean?
I feel like I need to call my mom right after this because that
and
woman did so much laundry.
For so many years of
constant.
So my job is to try and put them and help them emotionally to have a better experience while they're doing this basically mm-hmm. thankless task.
I love that. Tell me this.
Thank you.
We're here in the United States where certain scents are popular. Do you find that when you're working for other markets, there's differences between what people in America like versus other countries? What are some big differences?
It's not just the differences, but it's also the process that changes.
Okay.
So the differences...
I'm just going to move you slightly back to the mic. There we go. Okay.
See, I get carried away, unfortunately, because I'm quite passionate about what I do.
No, I love it. I love it.
So there are regional tastes of scent, you know, in the US, the scents that are very popular are things that people are so familiar with. You know, we talk about things like mum's apple pie, vanilla, scents like that, that people really love. I think you even mentioned, oh, what about baby shampoo or baby powder? Yes, those are the things we grew up with. So we recognize them. The fact is that those equivalents in other markets are not the same thing. Even the baby products that are used in Spain are different to the ones in US. So even though you talk about babies to an American consumer or somebody from Spain, it's a totally different concept.
They don't think of Johnson & Johnson baby powder and milky baby head smell?
They're thinking of colognes that are orange flower, narrowly, because that's what their products smell of.
So that's a more nostalgic scent for Spanish for them. Consumers.
So how do you familiarize yourself if you're working on a brief for...
A lot of traveling and a lot of experience, And what then we have local people who specialize in looking into it and understanding it. But that's why it takes so long. You know, I've been doing this for almost 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And it takes a long time to start to understand and appreciate the various intricacies of the consumer around the world.
What was a scent that really surprised you from another place? You know, you mentioned the orange blossom and the cologne waters. That's interesting, but it's not, you know, wow, shocking. Was there a scent that you're like, oh, this is very appealing?
Appealing or unappealing?
Tell me the unappealing one.
This is appealing, question mark. You know, just kind of, you know, what's been an interesting surprise along the way?
So you can tell from my accent, I wasn't born here. Mm-hmm. No. So I've been in the US about 25 years. When I came here, I had very European tastes and was told that the fragrances I was creating were much more European, because in Europe, they tend to like more of the green aldehydic characters. But actually what I've seen over the years is that people are changing. You know, people are traveling a lot more, so they experience things from other places and they start to get a feel for it. So that's why you see like more international foods and fragrances being available. And then what's happened is when Amazon came along, and basically you can go there and pretty much buy anything from anywhere, then all of a sudden people had access to things that they never had access to before. And now they're starting, you know, they would go on holiday, they would smell a product or use a particular, you know, eat a particular food. Now all of a sudden they can get it. So what's happening is globally, trends are changing quite a lot.
Do you think we're all becoming more similar, or?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
What's the most surprising then? Like, you were like, I cannot believe they want their softener to smell like green grass that's just been mowed in Ghana.
Okay. So one of the things that struck me, I've done quite
random.
A lot of work in the Asia region.
Okay.
And one of the things there is that often some of their fruity notes and the fruits that they particularly like have an essence that I could only describe as either the taste of or onion or garlic. It's
really?
Kind of somewhere in that area. So they have a couple of fruits that they absolutely go crazy for.
Which what fruits are they?
So one is called durian.
Oh, durian. That's the sticky
And the
fruit.
Other one's jackfruit.
Jackfruit. Yeah. It's like bacon. It's like a porky kind of... They put jackfruit in a lot of vegan... like jackfruit snacks.
Yep. And so you can imagine that going there, you look at it, you say, well, I don't want a smell of bacon or this kind of sulfury onion smell.
It's not a dryer sheet that I want. No, thank you.
Yeah. So, but, you know, a small amount of that in their fragrances, it's something they recognize and they appreciate the character of.
And so I know you're not allowed to tell us what you've worked on, but is there something in general that you're super proud of? Like this one, you know, I don't know, laundry detergent that smelled of Lily of the Valley is like gangbusters or whatever.
In addition to helping lead our perfumer team for fabrics, I'm also very involved in innovation. So one of the things that I was involved in from day one with IFF was when we introduced capsule technology into laundry to help deliver a more long-lasting experience for consumers. So that's where all of a sudden we were able to deliver things that a month later you take out of your closet and you go, wow, this still smells really good.
So it's a capsule that like does time release or something, just like a drug?
It's actually through friction.
Oh,
So essentially there's two elements to it, and that's really the fun part of it.
You look so happy.
You just got so excited.
I know your eyes are sparkling.
So there's two ways to use the technology, and by creating different types of fragrance within it, you can make it do different things. So partly you can have it where like it's a bit like slow release.
Okay.
Or you can have something that's like inside a capsule that when you break it,
like
then it releases.
Like you put friction, it bursts, and you get another scent, another wash of the scent.
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's like that Degree deodorant does that, where like the motion sense
some,
technology.
Yeah.
Caress
yeah.
had a body wash, or
you
know,
yes,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that technology is really interesting because it allows us to deliver different characters at a different point in time.
Oh, so like it comes out and it smells warm and delicious, and then a week later I get more of like a fresh green scent.
Absolutely,
to it.
Because cool. You may have a, you know, to use a really simple example, you could have something that smells lemon from the product, but mm-hmm. when you wash your clothes, of course, the lemon smell goes. But later on, when the capsule breaks, now you get the lemon coming back again.
Oh, that's so cool.
So we're able to make these fragrances inside the capsules. And like I said, by playing with the way that we create the capsule and what we put inside it, we can deliver all different sorts of effects from it.
I know Jess's question. Before you ask, I just thought of something. I can picture somebody sitting here listening to this and being like, they're all chemicals and they're all just rubbing all mm-hmm. over us all the time and causing us health issues, and synthetic fragrance is the devil. What do you say to someone like that?
Fragrance ingredients are heavily tested to make sure that they're
safe.
He's
like, I have to go through months of stuff to get you on the market. Okay.
Yes.
He's not smiling
not
anymore.
Not months, years.
Really?
Years. It takes to develop a new molecule mm-hmm. and to go through all of the testing, all of the safety, all of the registration takes probably a minimum of 4 years and potentially up to 7 years. Before
wow.
you can actually use it.
And we're talking about like for cancer, for allergies, for any sort of health concerns, right?
I'm talking about fragrance.
Yeah. No, but I mean like you have to test for all those things.
Oh, yeah. So we test, you know, for skin sensitization, for potential carcinogens, things like that. I mean, it's really extensively tested.
I'm so glad you asked that, Jen. Yeah. That's a great point because we do hear a lot like in the beauty space about, you know, this product might do this, or there's a lot of information floating around. So I don't think people realize that the scent is really tested just as seriously as other ingredients. So
and sometimes more so.
It sounds like more so. Yeah.
You may have heard of IFRA, or the International mm-hmm. Fragrance Association, and they really kind of between them and RIFM, they kind of oversee the testing of the ingredients to make sure that as an industry and morally, we do the right thing. So we make sure we test thoroughly to make sure that we don't put something into a product that's going to cause a problem.
Mm-hmm. That's reassuring. And now let's talk about the actual, okay, you've got the fragrance, you know what it is, it smells like the ocean or it smells like a pine forest, whatever. Do you sit down with the people, the copy people, and come up with the name? Do you have
like
any
the marketing
hand in it?
People at over at Snuggle or whatever?
Yeah.
So usually our customer has a huge marketing department, and basically it's their job to do that. There have been occasions, but they're quite rare, where actually we'll come up with our own concept and name and actually go and show it to a customer. And have them say, oh, okay, yeah, I think that's a really good thing for us. And then they've gone ahead with it. But that's quite rare.
Do they pay a premium for that kind of work? Because you're doing... No, look at them chicken.
Nope.
But you got a new customer.
I want to shout out you.
We've got a customer who's happy.
That's good.
You know, that's the thing. Yeah.
And I mentioned like an ocean scent because I always think of ocean scents when I think of laundry detergent. So that to me is like a clean scent. But what constitutes... Like, why do marine scents connote clean?
I think because, as we kind of mentioned earlier, anything that makes people think about like outside, fresh air, ozone, those kind of things, there's just this natural connection to the fact that, you know, those are going to smell clean and fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a rainstormy kind of smell
any of those things. And so that's why I think, you know, people really like them because it reminds them of the outside.
And I have another question.
Go for it, Jess.
Is there a scent that you really want to do?
Mm.
There's so many. Yeah, I think it's...
or something, art part of nature that you're really inspired by or something like that?
We have a whole program where we look at headspace of some natural things. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? You know, headspace is where basically we have little detectors that we put close to something, and then they basically, without actually impacting on the product at all, they can kind of capture the smell of it. So for instance, we can go and capture the smell of apple blossom on the tree without actually doing anything to the apple blossom itself to damage it or what have you, but we just capture the smell that's in the air. So a lot of those have become really interesting. And then sometimes there's some things that you use that are kind of a bit out there. And then I always like a challenge, you know. So if somebody says to me, oh, you can't, that's usually like the check of fact. It says, okay, off you go. Go and prove them wrong, you know. So sometimes we've had things that you would say, wow, how on earth would you use that?
Like a weird molecule.
A weird smell, like the smell of horses.
Hmm.
How would you bring that into a fragrance?
Hay.
Well, hay, but hay is not horses.
Yeah, huh? But it makes me think of horses.
Right. So we actually had something that captured the smell of a stallion. And then the fun part was figuring out how to use that so that people didn't pick it up and go, oh, this smells like a horse.
Was this for a laundry product?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Like, what company was like, hey, we want the... We want the stallion-scented soft
This
detergent.
Is fascinating. Mm.
But like I said, to me, I'm always like up for a challenge. So if someone says, oh, you can't do that, usually then I go away and actually try and prove them wrong.
Well, now I'm picturing your household. Like what consumer products are you using? What is in your laundry right now? Don't tell me testing stuff that you're testing. I want to know names. Like just what do you prefer?
Okay. So can't mention names.
Okay.
But it's more about what I try and avoid. You know, I smell so much all the time that I try and avoid anything that has technology in. You know, we talked about the capsules. So the risk is, of course, if you put something through the wash and then you have a capsule and it can work for a month, well, I can't be smelling that when I'm trying to create...
unscented life.
Not unscented, because that's really boring.
Yeah.
But kind of not anything that's going to interfere too much. So you may notice, you know, like if you smell me,
yeah,
you'll see that I don't smell strongly of much.
Do you is this like because you eat different stuff too?
Partly, but also the products I use, we tend to use things that don't have a strong fragrance.
Wait,
so
does this mean
don't worry, we're in a small room and yes, I do use deodorant.
I smell nothing right now.
No, I don't
but
smell
But like, does this mean like no curry while you're working? Cause like,
not during the week. Weekend's fine.
Really? So you actually...
I avoid like spicy food.
Because they come out
Monday
your sweat.
To Thursday. Yes, yeah. Because you sweat them out.
Uh-huh.
So obviously you don't want to be working on something and in the meantime you smell of yesterday's curry or the Mexican burrito you had for lunch. Nope, none of that.
What's like a sample lunch for you? I'm picturing just like a little piece of boiled
chicken.
Oh,
I'm super boring. You know, usually it's not anything really special. It's just that I don't go for anything that's too flavored. So, you know, I mean, for lunch today, I had a ham and cheese sandwich. You know, I'm sorry.
That's
super
adorable.
Boring.
That's
super
really
boring.
Cute.
No, not at all.
And I'm vegetarian, but just seeing you say ham and cheese sandwich.
Well, okay. And for breakfast, I had oatmeal. So,
oh, wow.
Okay, you keep it simple.
Yeah.
Keep it real simple.
Yeah, but then he's over here making soap with stallion sweat. So it's all relative. Is there anything else you have to do to sort of keep your nose in shape? You're a master perfumer. Your job is to identify things immediately. Do you have to like do exercises or anything?
When you start as an apprentice, your day is spent smelling like nonstop to the point where it often happens because... You know, when you're smelling materials, it tends to dry your nose out.
Yeah.
So you have to watch out. So all the youngsters, because I mentor and train a lot of our youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
And so through that, I always say to them, you know, go to CVS, buy that saline spray. Make sure you carry it around with you. It's going to be like your medical kit as a perfumer, because there will be times when all of a sudden you just start with a nosebleed because you've dried your nose out smelling materials.
Occupational hazard.
Exactly.
Are the people walking around IFF with little nosebleeds or
It doesn't happen so often, but when it happens, I mean, it's especially for people who are, you know, learning to smell and they're trying to smell a lot.
Yeah, blood has a smell. So it's like all of a sudden, like, this was really iron. Well, and it's, a lot of iron
hard,
notes in this one.
It's very hard to smell when your nose is bleeding as
well.
But yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. So what do I try and avoid? You know, in the winter when it's dry here and the humidity's low, I have a humidifier going at home. Mm-hmm. You know, I do have my little bottle of saline that I carry around with me just in case I need to flush my nose out and
this
things
is
like
great.
That. And generally, you know, it's just take care of it. You know, it's like any instrument. You don't want to abuse it.
Is your nose insured?
You have to ask Carol on that one.
Yeah, Carol works at IFF, and it's like Tina Turner
outside.
In her legs. But
yeah.
Steve's nose is like got $1 million policy.
It's the
on
golden
it.
Nose.
How many master perfumers are there before we let you go at IFF?
At IFF, I think we have 5 now.
And how many people work at IFF?
That one's a Carol question.
But like hundreds?
Perfumers, we have about 100 perfumers.
And only 5 make it to master perfumer.
So far, yeah.
We're lucky we got your time.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, you need to take care of your nose because we need all of the fabulous products that you're making.
Thank you so much for coming on Fat Mascara.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Can I just say Steve is a delight?
He was so charming.
He was super charming. And guys, I wish you could see his face when we asked him a few of the questions. It was like kid in a candy store. He lit up. He was like, ooh, this is like a really exciting topic.
We had to tell him to come back to the mic because, Jen, I thought he was going to fly across the room.
It was an interesting interview. I learned a bunch of stuff.
This was so good. I love this kind of interview.
Okay, so you ready to raise a wand?
I'm ready to raise a wand.
Who's raising first?
You go first because I'm like...
Oh, I'm about to drop big, big news.
What?
As you guys know, I'm always on the hunt for the perfect mascara.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've been having a lot of DMs with our listeners. Please keep them coming about fat tubes.
Yeah.
My idea.
Yeah.
Which is basically a tubing mascara that also brings the drama. So everybody's been sending me their suggestions. And I got a suggestion for a mascara that I've heard before and I tried it before and I was like, no, that's it. I tried it again. I think I might not have gotten the right mascara last time. Do you know what it is? Kevin Aucoin, the volume.
Oh, yeah, the volumizing one.
I remember Emily Weiss from Glossier said that was her favorite mascara. And I've heard, but I was like, that's not a tubing mascara. But I think I never tried the right one because I just tried it. Girl,
you
this
like
might
it.
Be my new favorite.
It is good. I tried it like years and years ago, but I haven't tried it since.
So I got a fresh tube, nice and fresh. I think it's one of those formulas that like use it quickly because those certain formulas that like will dry out and they become less effective. It is more drama than the Blink mascara, a little bit lengthening, very inky black. I don't think you get that much volume. It's called the volume, but it doesn't build outwards on your lash. It definitely lengthens though. Mm-hmm. And it truly is a tubing mascara. So it did not smudge on me till the end of the night. And then the shower, you know, when you rinse your face or wash your face or whatever, you do get a couple of those little, they look like fiber, like rubbery fibers coming off.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is the sign that this is truly a tubing mascara. And I really, really like it.
I think I'm going to go for a tubing mascara because my mascara is like underneath my eyes by the end of the day.
I know. See, and this is a nice skinny brush, which I think is better than those. Hence the name of our show, Fat Mascara. I think it's better the skinny brush. Skinny mascara.
I always feel like the fat brush is like a toilet wand.
And you can't get close to the roots.
No. Unless you want to mess up your eye makeup or just like hit your eyelid. Yeah. Guys, enough with the fat brushes.
So skinny mascara, fat tubes. It's Kevin Aucoin, the volume. So I'm raising a wand.
Love it. Okay. Ready?
Ready.
Mine, I'm a little sheepish about.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to call this one. I'm sheepish, but I love it. Okay. If you've got some money. Okay. Chanel Sublimage.
Sublimage.
Holy cow. Okay, I remember when this launched. I remember getting it. I remember, you know, covering, you know, like looking at the product and testing and everything. Mm-hmm. And we covered it. But I hadn't committed to real usage.
This is a moisturizer or a serum?
Well, it's a whole
collection.
That's
why
it's a whole collection.
Okay.
But I've been using the serum and the moisturizer. Now, if you add those things two together, you have a used car, a pretty good used car, okay?
The cost of the
sublimage. Yeah, okay.
Serum and moisturizer.
Or you've got a great vacation. But let's just be real. We are in the beauty industry. We are beauty editors, and I have to cover. We've got to cover everything.
Oh, right? Yeah, doing your homework.
And I want to.
Poor you trying out the Chanel serum and moisturizer.
But I also just want to really acknowledge that I realize that this is a very, very pricey product.
But why is it so good?
Because it works.
And why works? What do you mean?
I tried the serum and the cream together in like morning and night for 2 days. I got unsolicited compliments about my skin.
No other variables going on?
We tried to deduce the variables. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny that you asked that because I really took it seriously. I asked lots of people at work. My friend and I at work, we sat down and we really thought about all the products I'd use step by step. Mm-hmm. The only consistent thing was the Sublimage.
Okay.
And my friend Jana, if you're listening, she's been a Sublimage devotee forever. And she's like, you know, that's all I love. That's my top pick. You know, sometimes you need to stop and you need to listen to what people are saying. You got to listen to what your friends love and you got to give in. And that's for anything. I started using it. I really do think it's made a difference in my skin.
Like fewer lines, moisture,
let me tell you about, so it has this little like extract in it and it's supposed to, like a vanilla extract.
It's orchid, yeah.
Yeah.
Madagascar, I wrote about it.
Yeah, I'm not saying it, I'm not doing it justice. I'm just going to give it to you in real talk. This cream made my skin brighter, smoother, more vibrant. A little bit more evenly toned.
In 2 days. Like, this is like you didn't have to wait 30 days for
results. Yes. Now, this is my experiment.
Well, you know what you're talking about. You're a beauty director. Like, you try a lot of stuff. Yeah. I believe it.
I absolutely love it. And, of course, the sensorial experience is fantastic.
Nice, elegant formula. Oh,
yeah.
Good scent, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Sublimage. I like it.
If you've got it, worth it. There are a lot of creams that are just as much that are not as nearly as good.
Okay. Good one. Thanks, Jess.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.